following podcast is part of the Underdog Sports Podcasting Network. For a full list of our shows, as well as breaking sports news and engaging feature stories, visit us at www.theunderdogsports.com.
Back to another episode of Create Your Shot. I am Tyler Laurie, and I'm joined, as always, by my Friday co-hosts, Christopher Smalls Angelos and Andrew Bart, aka Bart. And we are back on the winning track. So before we get to Bart to recap the picks, Smalls, how are you on this fine Thursday morning?
Tyler, I'm doing great. And, you know, Thursday mornings, Friday mornings, you know, I'm up. I'm Adam. Everyone knows I'm juiced. I'm excited for this week. We had a pretty good week in picks. We'll let Bart go all through that. But I'm feeling like we turned a corner and we're getting hot. But I also feel like our fans turned the corner. We're getting a lot of submissions for the Pick'em contest. If everyone wants to know about the Pick'em contest, if you haven't heard, listen, send us 5 picks a week against the spread. That's it. 5 picks. If you get X amount right, great. If you get this many right, if you get 0 right, and then you go 5-0 the next week, that's great because we will send you a koozie if you get 5-0. Now, the winner at the end of the year, the winner, so the most wins against the spread who submits, gets to host a bowl show with us. Yes, that's live on the air, picking games, chatting with us, maybe having an adult beverage. And right now, I'm happy to announce midway through the season, a super fan, a CYS guy, maybe a soon-to-be CYS Army guy, Johnny Bray out of Pittsburgh, is leading the way. He's leading the contest. He's a super fan. He's back on the podcast wagon. Works for the Buckos out there in Pittsburgh. We had a great interview about the Buckos and the Pittsburgh guys and the City Review. So Johnny Bray's leading the way, but everyone, you can still get in. We're only like halfway there. So if you get in now and you start winning koozies, gifts, you want to host a bowl show, become an all-star podcaster with us, that's the key. That's how I'm doing, Tyler. That's how I'm doing.
Do we know if Johnny's related to Tennessee great Tyler Bray? And I believe he's actually a Chiefs backup right now.
Tyler Bray's on an NFL roster still? No chance.
I'm pretty sure he's in the league.
All right, Bart, why don't you get into the bloodbath of last week where we could have, I mean, honestly, it could have been 13-0. There were only a couple that were definitely not going to hit. We could have gone like 13-2 or something. But why don't you get into it?
Tyler and Smalls went 3-2. Tyler continues picking against his least favorite Power 5 team, Kansas. It's not going too well. He also had Miami minus 13.5 in a game that he really never had a shot at covering. That series just always seems close with Florida State and Miami, regardless of who's better. I had my sadly best week of the season going 2-2-1. We pushed Kentucky losing in overtime by 6. Pretty brutal. And we also lost by 1 point with Alabama minus 35 when they give up an 80-yard kick return in the last 2 minutes, and then Arkansas scores in the last 30 seconds. So a little bit of bad luck, but still 2-2-1, so we're trending in the right direction. That's 8-6-1 as a group.
Arkansas scored with 18 seconds left, which was definitely brutal. We actually got lucky, though. The two of us covered Pittsburgh and the Falcons by 0.5 because of a defensive touchdown in a game that I think I texted you midway through because we forgot to talk about Chris Boswell and how you just cannot bet teams with terrible kickers. And, like, you know, we could have lost that game pretty easily after he missed an extra point. But I did text you the one that I that sticks out the most in my mind, Bart, is the West Virginia game. So I believe, if I remember right, you have the sheet in front of you. I had it -29, right? West Virginia at home against Kansas. I'm 0-3 betting against Kansas this year, by the way. So
yeah,
and Kansas actually and just fired, I believe, their offensive coordinator because of their 3-game losing streak. Because, you know, when you've gone 5-37, the 3-game losing streak is what sets it off. But so I had it -29, right?
Yes, you had -29 on that one.
All right, so I no big deal, guys. I've talked this about this before. I go to the gym, I work out, not a big deal. So I was watching it on the treadmill, and it was 11:40 Central Time, and they picked off Kansas's terrible quarterback. West Virginia's up 14-0. The next play on the plus side of the 50, they go deep. Will Grier almost throws an interception. In the end zone, that would have made it 21-0, doesn't throw a pick, and the quarterback or and the receiver makes a great play. So they drive it down the field. They're inside the 8, and Will Grier throws one of the worst interceptions in the red zone I've ever seen, tries to force it to David Sills in the end zone, misses the throw. And I texted Bart right away, and we can post a screenshot of this, that this was 100% a loser. And that was at the time the score was 14-0 in the first quarter. And because, like, when you've had this kind of, like, betting season, you can tell right away when the Heisman candidate quarterback can't punch it in to make it 21-0. There's just no chance that that game's gonna win. They needed a win by 29. He throws 3 picks in the end zone, has another fumble inside the 30, and we never really had a chance. They had a defensive touchdown late to go up by 21, but it was never happening for us. And West Virginia, Bart, when we get to it in the middle, probably a pretender. They are not quite that. They're not quite as good, I think, as people think, but. That one was just brutal. Like you could just tell right away that they just weren't. It wasn't going to happen. Like it just wasn't going to happen. And I'm never betting against Kansas. And I think I'm done betting on West Virginia. I don't know, guys. What do you think?
Definitely some bad luck with that game. I think he definitely threw 2 terrible red zone picks. It might have been 3, but we really shouldn't even say Heisman contender Will Grier. Like. 2 tags just winning the Heisman, even if Grier had been awesome, which he hasn't.
He had 2 picks actually in the end zone and a 3rd in the red zone. And then a fumble, like I said, inside the 30 that was his fault. I just like it was disappointing. But that and then, like I said, the one thing as I think we're getting better, as Small said, I think we're kind of realizing like who's good and who's not. But I do think that we need to pay a little bit more attention when somebody bets on a team with a terrible kicker. And in college, like most kickers are bad, except for the guy from Texas, Dicker the kicker. But I think, you know, Chris Boswell, like it's hard to bet on Pittsburgh because, and it's hard to bet on like the Browns, even though, because like the Browns are actually pretty talented, but you never, the Browns, the Chargers, and the Steelers, like you're never getting help from the kicker spot. So those are some things to pay attention to as we move forward. I do have one kind of funny degenerate story. And this week, guys, I didn't tell you in advance to remind me. I actually wrote it down because I didn't want to spoil it. But as you guys know, I had some family stuff go on last week and my wife had to have surgery on Thursday. So we were in St. Thomas Hospital down here and I was in the back like as she was getting ready to have surgery. Everything's okay. You know, award-winning listeners, to steal from part of my take, no need to worry. Everything's good. But we had an anesthesiologist come up to us and he's like an older guy, he's probably like in his mid-40s. And the guy's talking to me, he's asking us like about the two of us or whatever. And he says to me, he's like, oh yeah, where are you guys from? And I was like, oh, you know, I went to college in Philly. He's like, oh, where'd you go? Temple? And I said, yeah, expecting him to be like, oh, I have family in Temple. And you know what this guy said to me?
He said, create your shot.
No, he said, I got really, really nervous when this conversation was happening because when your anesthesiologist is clearly a degenerate gambler, you're like, oh man, does he like, is he maybe, you know, needs this surgery to go well to get paid? He told me, and I quote, boy, I lost so much money on that Temple Villanova game. And he's like, and then I ran it back and they ended up beating Maryland and I lost money on that. And I was like, all right, so this guy knows multiple results for Temple football. Like he might have been in so deep with the mob, fellas, because he had no, I mean, there's no reason that somebody in Nashville, Tennessee, who has no ties to the North, is betting Temple football unless you have an actual.
Is Johnny Bray doing surgery in Nashville?
Or he was listening to us.
I don't think John Bray's bet on Temple yet. We'd have to go back through his picks. But I mean, I'm serious. This guy was literally going over each Temple outcome with me. And I was like, look, man, I don't care about Temple football. I want them to lose.
You didn't tell him that you were not a big fan of Al Golden?
Well, I didn't get into that. But he told me, like, originally was like, yeah, you know, I like to bet a little money on sports. And then when he was talking about, like, losing Temple BC and losing Temple versus Maryland, I was like, this guy has an actual problem. He's betting bad American conference teams. What'd you say, Bart?
Did you leave him a koozie at least?
No, I honestly didn't have any koozies. I didn't have any koozies on me. But I'm telling you, nothing makes you more worried than realizing someone that's involved in a surgery is a degenerate gambler. I was like, this guy might have to run away because the mob might show up in the back room because he owes him money for Temple Maryland back in week three. But I couldn't believe it. I could not. I wanted to share that story with you.
Mob members in Nashville, Tennessee.
You don't think so? I think so. It's like
the mob's everywhere.
Yeah, it's definitely.
The mob's everywhere.
Everywhere. Let's go through. We did contender pretender in the NFL last week. Let's do it in college football really quickly. There are 11 undefeated teams, all of them now ranked in the top 25. I believe six in the top six. And then essentially, I think this is who can beat Bama, but we lost three teams last week. Oklahoma loses in an amazing game against Texas. Super awesome atmosphere. LSU loses to Florida, maybe looking ahead. They play Georgia comes to town this week to play them in the game of the week. And then Kentucky loses on the road last week in overtime. They actually looked really, really good, had a chance to kick a field goal to go up 3 in OT, but, you know, tough situation for them. Needed to pick six late to even force OT, so they are not undefeated anymore, but does look like Kentucky's for real. So I'm going to eliminate Bama for a second because I think the both of you guys would agree that right now Bama's the odds on title favorite, Tua's Heisman favorite, all that stuff. So Bama number one in the country at 6-0. I'll start with you, Bart. Georgia number two in the country. Likelihood that they are for real based on what you've seen?
Obvious contender, though this might be a year where, depending on whoever loses that SEC title game, I don't know if a one-loss team can get in.
Probably has to be Bama, right? They would have
even
to
Bama, though, if you look at things, let's say Bama loses to Georgia in that title game. Georgia's in. Ohio State can easily run the table. Clemson can easily run the table. Notre Dame's schedule is soft. They're probably going to run the table. They need one of those three to lose a game.
Yeah, I agree with that. I wonder, Smalls, Georgia, with our guy Jake Fromm, he doesn't look the same. Does Georgia go more towards Justin Fields, or would you stay the course right now at 6-0?
You got to stay the course. I mean, you're 6-0. Jake Fromm, one thing I know about our boy Jake Fromm is he always gets it together. He's a smart kid. He comes from a good Southern home, all right? He's focused on nothing but football, and he's going to take you to the promised land. Can they beat Bama? Possibly. I think they might be able to. So I think they are a contender. And to just – your criteria is really who can beat Alabama. So I would put absolutely Bama as a contender because Bama can only beat themselves. little twist on there. So, yeah, contender.
Hold on. Get back just to Bama for 1 second. Did you guys see – and I didn't even know when this happened. Like, so now Tua's not ever playing in the fourth quarter. Bama's – schedule has looked much easier probably than it really is by comparison. They haven't really played, you know, Arkansas and Ole Miss just really aren't that good, and Texas A&M's decent, but haven't really played anyone else. Louisville obviously stinks that we've seen now, but Tua has like a sprained knee right now. I saw Saban point that out in an interview yesterday. So this week they play Missouri at home. It's a huge spread again. I mean, is there any chance that if Tua can't play, like, would you sit him down at this stretch of the season? Because their schedule is a little bit easier. You know, they play Missouri this weekend at home, and they go to Tennessee next weekend. Like, any thoughts of sitting Tua down if he does have a sprained knee for a week or two and seeing what happens?
Wow. Yes.
They don't need him until LSU and maybe Auburn.
Yeah, that's
so and it's cool. Not like you're putting in an inexperienced guy, right? Like Jalen Hurts has really strong experience. You know, he knows how to run the offense, blah, blah, blah. His teammates know him. So I don't think it's like, all right, we're going to put in some young kid who hasn't started for us before and that could screw everything up. No, I think the ship will be fine. They'll keep motoring through. They'll win both games. Tua will get healthy. He'll come back slinging the rock.
Yeah, I think he said Tua is going to play this weekend, so it'll be interesting. Second team on the list, or number three in the country, Ohio State at 6-0. They have wins at Penn State, neutral at Tennessee, or I'm sorry, at TCU. And they had a tough game. They actually, like, their game against Indiana at home last weekend was closer, I think, than people thought it would be. They played Minnesota this weekend, but Ohio State still has to play Michigan. But what are your thoughts?
I mean, Haskins has looked awesome so far. Playing Michigan isn't that intimidating, though. That seems like it's usually a pretty close game lately, just because they hate each other so much. But I mean, I'd be pretty surprised if Ohio State didn't run the table and make the playoff. They'll end up in like the Big Ten title game against Wisconsin and Small's favorite quarterback, Sam Hornibrook. Is it even Sam?
No, it's Alex.
Alex, whatever. He sucks.
Isn't it Alex Hornibrook?
You're probably right.
I have no idea. I thought it was Sam Hornibrook.
I'm pretty sure it's Alex. I think he went to a little school, Malvern Prep, out here 10 minutes from me in the Interac.
Well, so Ohio State, one of the few teams, I think, left undefeated that has the athletes to play. I mean, their team speed you could see against Penn State. They likely should have lost the game. We didn't really talk about it much other than James Franklin's terrible play calling. But, I mean, there's probably five teams in the country, I think, that have the same type of, like, speed and athleticism on both sides of the ball that Bama does. And Ohio State's one of them. Probably really matters when they get Nick Bosa back. We don't know right now when he's scheduled to return. But
I don't even think – even if Nick Bosa comes back, I mean, that core – whatever the core injury it's supposed to be a while. If he comes back even in the earliest is like 6-5 weeks from now, 4 weeks maybe. I mean, it's, you know, as they say, it's tough to get back into that football shape. Boy, there's nothing like the games. And Nicky Bosa is going to have a rude awakening in that, you know, that atmosphere. I don't think they can beat Alabama. Now, of course, they're a contender to make the playoff. And I get it. Like, Haskins, I don't watch a ton of college football. All I really watched was that Penn State-Ohio State game. He doesn't look like a world beater to me. And if he has to go up against Alabama, it's just a different world. And I don't think that kid survives.
He struggled a good bit at Penn State early in the game and actually settled in, I thought, pretty nicely. But it's a tough environment, you know, white out. I mean, he did well. They won the game. And like I said, Ohio State has, I mean, Ohio State and Notre Dame probably have the two best resumes of the undefeated teams right now. So we'll get to fourth in the country, Bart's guys. Clemson, 6-0. Trevor Lawrence last week, big statement. Just beat the brakes off Wake Forest in a game that I thought would be closer than that. But Clemson, 6-0. ACC does not look very good. Can they beat Bama, Bart? I think they obviously are favorites to run the table. But can they beat Bama in the playoff? Can they beat Georgia?
I think they have the defense too, though, from how we've seen them play so far this year. No, but it's October, luckily, so I'm guessing we haven't seen the best of them.
That would be my guess too. Where's the most likely game that they trip up if they were to lose a game in the ACC?
Maybe at Florida State. Even though they've looked awful, there's still a ton of talent there.
Man, they do look terrible though. Francois looked a little bit better.
They looked
in the
good
first
for
half,
almost three quarters last week.
Yeah, and then when the wheels fell off, they fell off. Smalls, your guys, Notre Dame 6-0. Pretty impressive. they have gotten through the toughest part of their schedule. They win in Virginia Tech, and everyone's talking about it's an unbelievable atmosphere or whatever. Virginia Tech's, they're okay. They lost Old Dominion. Like, let's not drink the Kool-Aid really quickly, but Ian Book looks like he might be pretty good, but Smalls, Notre Dame 6-0, probably also favorites to run the table. I don't know if they play a ranked team for the rest of the year, but your thoughts on if this team is good enough if they were to get to the playoff to beat Bama or beat anybody in the playoff?
Yeah, I mean, the team's good enough. The real downfall is the Notre Dame fan and culture. That's really what brings this team down. I think the whole culture and the Notre Dame buildup and the dumb fans out there, there's one in particular we've talked about in this podcast, that really brings the whole team down. Do they have it talent-wise? I mean, they've had it talent-wise for years on end. They've had 5 stars, 4 stars. So what's the problem? Is it the coaching? I don't think so. They got to the national championship game 1 year and got blown out. So I don't think it's really the talent. I think it's just the overall culture and the Notre Dame brainwashing and these stupid, idiotic fans who think their team is, you know, something special every year. And they set these high expectations and they just can't reach them. And they ebb and flow with the team. So I think Notre Dame's probably talented enough to maybe win a game in the playoff. They're not talented enough to beat Alabama, but their fans bring them way down. They'll lose a game here at the end of the year and they won't make the playoffs.
Yeah, they go on the road twice more at Northwestern first week of November, and then they finish the season at USC. So to me, like I said, I mean, they have Pitt this week, Navy next week, then Florida State, then at home for Syracuse as well. I mean, people talked at the beginning of the year that they had the best schedule in the country to maybe do this if they could get through Stanford and get through Michigan. And so we're going to look at this. Obviously, that at USC game is one to circle, though we'll learn a good bit more about USC this week, I think, against Colorado. But not sure. I don't know if Ian Book's the guy. I know Notre Dame fans are pretty damn excited about him right now and think that
I do like him. I think he's good.
He's better than Wimbush. Like I said, he's definitely better than Wimbush. Bart, West Virginia, 5-0, only undefeated team left in the Big 12, have an absolute gauntlet of a schedule coming up. They play at Iowa State this weekend. They're only 6.5-point favorites. Your thoughts on West Virginia?
I just don't believe in that defense.
It's not good. I mean, they you know, like Kansas was in the game. Like in the fourth quarter, I think I texted you early, like that Kansas could win the game outright. Like that was a realistic thing on the road at Kansas. Or I mean, excuse me, at home against Kansas. Bart, no more thoughts on West Virginia. That's good. All right. Central Florida, only other team.
Right, Bart, now. Great back and forth from the man they call Daddy Vegas.
Sorry, I'm short on words today.
The only other team in the top 10, Central Florida's 5-0. They're defending national champions, Central Florida. They are probably going to run the table.
I agree. Just like looking at their schedule, it's not tough at all. I mean, they're at Memphis. They're at East Carolina. I don't see any threats between those two teams. Then they're home against Temple. Chalk up that one as a 42-point victory. Navy hasn't looked good. They got blown out by Air Force last week. You got Cincinnati at home. And then you finish the season at USF. I mean, I don't really see them. The only way I really think USF no good, I'm guessing. Like, I don't really know, but Florida weather.
They're 5-0.
What's that?
USF is 5-0. They're 23rd in the country.
So here's USF, right? The weather could be bad. Something could go wrong on that Friday, November 23rd night, and they play USF. That's the only game I see them running into trouble. But again, we're looking like this. Unfortunately, UCF, you know, defending national champions, which is great, but they don't have a strong enough schedule to get them into the playoff, I don't think. I think one-loss teams get in ahead of them.
Let's say Clemson and Bama go undefeated. Ohio State loses to Michigan. Georgia loses in the SEC title game. Notre Dame loses to, I don't know, USC or something like that.
All 5 teams are ahead of them.
So that's what I'm saying. All those teams with one loss.
One loss Texas, one loss Oklahoma, et cetera.
So those teams are all getting in before UCF. I mean, they're ranked 10th in the country in – what do we say?
Yeah, but that's because of last year probably, right? Because who'd they beat? UConn, South Carolina State, FAU, Pitt, and then they're playing the AAC teams. Now, I don't know. It stinks for – I guess it stinks. We'll never know how good UCF could have been these last 2 years.
All right, last 4 teams, probably all pretenders. I'm gonna pick one out. The last 4 teams that are undefeated: Colorado's 5-0, NC State's 5-0, USF's 5-0, and Cincy is 6-0. So 3 American Conference teams. They obviously all have to play each other. But Bart, I want to circle one team. I don't know anything really about them. I was surprised they were top 20 in the country. Colorado at 5-0. The Pac-12 is okay. Washington, I think, is pretty good. Oregon and Washington play this weekend. But Colorado, pretender or contender in your mind? You're the only one of us that's likely to have stayed up and watched a Pac-12 after dark game. So your thoughts on Colorado?
I gave up on the Pac-12 after watching Khalil Tate for 2 weeks and seeing Kevin Sumlin ruin them.
All right, so we don't know if Colorado's any good. They play at USC this weekend. I believe they are dogs at USC. I believe they are 3-point dogs. So I think we're going to see a situation where we could see teams get dropped off this week. Like I said, I could see Colorado losing, though they are supposedly going to win. West Virginia, I think, has a really tough game, obviously, at Iowa State. Iowa State's played a lot better. Georgia's got LSU at LSU. It's, you know, a situation where we could easily see Coach O coach him up after losing last weekend. And then, like I said, you know, I think we're going to see a situation where those American Conference teams play each other. And then NC State, obviously, you know, still has to go through the ACC schedule and has been pretty fortunate so far. So interesting group of undefeated teams. And like I said, it'll be interesting to see if anyone can beat Bama. We'll go into fades. Smalls, we've had good luck with you starting fades. So why don't you give us what you got for this week?
Yeah, pretty clear for me last night, catching some of that little special interview there. I'm fading Jimmy Butler. Now, I'm not a Tibbs guy. I'm not all that stuff. I totally agree with you guys. He runs players into the ground. I'm really fading Jimmy Butler on the pure fact that in those interviews, it was just 2,000 cliches right in a row. I play for the pure of the game. I'm pure. I play hard. I play harder than anybody. Blah, 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 blah. You're just speaking into air. I mean, Jimmy Butler, you're upset. You go to practice. I get it. You do all this stuff. You agree that Woj, you know, confirmed those tweets that Woj tweeted out that he was calling out players. Great. Good for you, Jimmy Butler. Here's what I'm looking at as another team. This is all I'm seeing as another NBA team. Jimmy Butler is a purely egotistical asshole, and I don't want him on my team. I don't want Jimmy Butler. I play harder. All this kind of stuff he said about himself, I don't care. I don't want that guy on my team. I don't want him anywhere near it. I'm not going to pay him 4-year, $135 million extension, which I believe that, right, that's what he wants, somewhere in that range.
He wants a max deal.
Yeah, because it's I agree. Like 4 years, $100 million. Like, go get your money. I'm not disagreeing with that, but I'm fading the whole like interview and this whole act that Jimmy Butler has going on. He annoys me right now, and I'm sick of it.
Wasn't an act, Smalls. I mean, they had an interview scheduled for that day on ESPN, and he shows up to practice for the first time in 3 weeks. I believe I read online that he showed up late to practice. Give a shout out to Mgrads on Twitter for tweeting out some stuff that he had heard. I know he rarely gets credit for things like this. If he listens or somebody listens, shout him out. But he tweeted that Jimmy Butler showed up late, only scrimmaged for an hour, and then just walked off the court. And then 2 hours later was sitting down with Rachel Nichols on SportsCenter. So,
yeah, and
don't think that Rachel Nichols set it up. I think that Jimmy knew exactly what he was doing to try to control the narrative, but not sure why he picked that way to do it, Smalls. I don't know.
The last thing I'll say is, too, this is what really bothered me. He said, you know, none of my I was calling out everybody. No one was saying anything to me. Like, if someone came up to me and said, yo, Jimmy, you're out of line, I would have said, you're right. You're right, man. That's, like, the biggest hack of shit I've ever heard. And to say that in an interview, first off, everyone knows your situation. You're going to show up late to practice. You're yelling at everyone, like getting in people's faces, calling people out. No one's going to walk up to you because you're a ticking time bomb. And there is no chance you'd be like, yeah, you're right, man. I'm out of line. You know, I'll calm down a little bit. He's such a loser.
It fell apart at the end of him for him in Chicago. Jimmy Butler, I mean, for sure. Super hard worker. I read this online that somebody for a specific team said that Jimmy Butler was the hardest working guy in the gym, but he was also the first guy to let you know that he was the hardest working guy in the gym. So clearly a tougher dude to play for.
Well, he's an Instagram video. That's the culture we live in. The workout. Like, if you didn't video your workout, it didn't happen. Social media, thank you.
I'm a big fan of the fade, Jimmy Butler. Like, overrated guy, in my opinion. I'm not a big fan. Bart, you got a fade this week, or are you staying positive?
No, can we curse on the show?
Yeah, absolutely.
Fuck positivity. We're done with that. Positivity got us like another like 1-4 week a couple weeks back. I'm fading anyone with the last name Gruden. That Monday night game was a joke. Other than the fact that game was fixed so Drew Brees could set some NFL records, the Redskins didn't show up. coming off a bye, no discipline. They just look terrible. And also, we've already talked about how much John Gruden sucks. They no-showed a game against the Chargers. Carr looks awful, too.
He's bad. Real quick, Bart, what about the NFL being told in advance what the celebration was going to look like for the passing yard record, and then the referees still flagging them 15 yards for excessive celebration when they were told in advance what they were going to do when he broke the record? How about that? What do you think about that?
Where was the delay of game penalty? They just stopped the freaking game for 2-3 minutes. That's a joke.
I couldn't believe, and I understand that, like,
not only that, did you see the jerseys that Drew Brees' kids were wearing? The Saints couldn't make them some real jerseys.
What did they have? Replicas?
It looked like Scott Felsenfeld with a Wizards Brandon Haywood jersey taped on the back that just said Brees Jr.
Yeah, well, got to keep the money on the field. They probably had Drew Brees purchase those in the NFL shop.
We've all worked in equipment rooms. How quickly could they have made a little jersey for Brees' kids that just said Brees Jr.? Get out of here.
I believe it would have had to come from the NFL. But yeah, that's something Drew Brees can get done. All right, so I have a couple real quick, and I'll piggyback off that. Peyton Manning, a congratulations commercial to Drew Brees that every single person – this is a fade. Sorry, we're starting my fades. Peyton Manning commercial to Drew Brees, it's just not that funny. Like, why was it being retweeted all over Twitter and Instagram and Facebook? Like, oh, man, Peyton Manning's the best. Like, I like Peyton Manning. The commercial just wasn't funny. It just – there was nothing funny about it. Like, oh, I'm going to chop tomatoes because I got a lot of time on my hands. Like, all right, I get it. First of all, nobody cares about the passing yards rule anyway. Like, now, Matt Stafford has a chance to break this record in 8 years. Like, I'm not that interested in it. Peyton Manning, not that funny. Let me also go into the coaching thing for a second, Bart. And I was talking to you about this outside of the show, but Jay Gruden, you know, obviously not a great coach, but, like, when you're in the same division with guys like Jason Garrett, I mean, you're never going to be the worst coach in your division. Jason Garrett, I just want to go into this for a second. And everyone's talked about this when he punted from his own 42 in overtime against the Texans. Like, this guy is in a division that stinks. The Eagles are 2-3. The Skins are 2-2. The Cowboys are 2-3. The Giants are 1-3. Obviously, the Birds and the Giants play Thursday night this week. So by the time this airs, we'll know if the Eagles are 3-3 or what. But, like, if you're Jason Garrett and you have Zeke Elliott, you have a chance to go 3-2 in the division if you can win that game. And that actually matters, because the winner of the division might win 8 games. And instead you punt. Like, what the fuck are you doing? Like, I don't understand how coaches can make decisions like this. And here's another thing. I didn't even realize this, but obviously Stephen A. Smith gets on Twitter, if you guys haven't seen this, and states that Jason Garrett keeping his job is a racial thing, which is, I mean, insanity in its own right, because Hugh Jackson went 1-31 in 2 years and didn't lose his job. And Marvin Lewis has won 0 playoff games in 16 years and is still a head coach. So, but, like, Jason Garrett, like, you have a first round pick in Zeke Elliott in your backfield. You need to get 1 yard. You've statistically been one of the best teams on fourth down in your tenure there. And this guy punts. Like, I don't understand how he doesn't just immediately get fired. Like, you're playing. I just don't get it. I don't fucking understand.
I mean,
I don't get
it. I'm with you, and I agree. The division does stink. And they had a real shot, but the Cowboys are going to Cowboys. Jason Garrett, I've always been on the Jason Garrett is not a very good coach train.
He's the worst in game.
Tyler, let me ask you something.
Strictly decision making.
This is not. And believe me, this is not, like, I don't know the answer to this. What do the analytics say in this situation? They say 1 yard on your own 42, and the percentage, like, even if you get stopped.
You're better than 50-50 to pick that up. I mean, I don't actually know the actual math, but I would say getting that first down, you know, like I said, I think your win probability goes up 25%.
I also think you're playing for the tie. If you do that,
because, why?
No. I'm saying he's playing for the tie because, and I don't know why, because it's a 10-minute now. Overtime's in 10 minutes. So once you punt that and they get that other possession, you're either going to have a lot limited time to drive again, or you're going to lose the game most likely.
I mean, here's the thing. He knew that the Eagles had lost. He obviously knew the Giants had lost.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you have an opportunity to really try to, like, take control of the division there at that yes. level. Hunt, you can lose or tie. If you go for it, you can still lose or tie, but you can also win. You cannot win if you punt. You know what I mean? Like, you can't win the game right there if you punt. That's the only thing you can't do. I didn't realize, actually, Jason Garrett, 13, I believe his last 4 years as a head coach, 12-4, then 4-12, and that was the year Romo got hurt, and they were playing, like, Sean Hill and John Kitna, and then 12-4, and then last year, 9-7. So mm-hmm. I didn't realize, actually, he had won more games. It's maybe because the Cowboys have been so talented, but, like, I'm fading Jason Garrett. I'm fading the Cowboys. Like, I'm fading Jerry Jones. Like, you just, if that's the guy that's your head coach, like, you're just not trying to win. And I think that to me is a huge problem. One other quick fade. ESPN during the Kansas-West Virginia game called David Beatty a program rebuilder. That's Kansas's head coach. They put up a graphic that he was 5-36 in his time at Kansas. Obviously, it's two of those wins this year. But now they lost. They were 5-37. So 32 of his losses at Kansas have also been by double digits. On that graphic, they had Al Golden, David Cutcliffe, Frank Beamer, all guys that had gone to bowl games and won more than 8 games in their time in a program. So if the bar for being a program rebuilder is getting to Kansas and winning 5 games in 4 years, I mean, we got it really, really low. But those are my fades. Like I said, the Jason Garrett shit, I think, is just totally unbelievable. I don't understand it. But we will get into picks. Oh, Bart, go ahead. You have a point to make?
Yeah, on your Jerry Jones thing, can he just grow up already or just go away and shut up? Why is he coming out taking shots at Dez like, oh, we haven't had a number one receiver in years, blah, blah, blah. Like, just go away.
Yeah, the Cowboys, like, I hate to say this with Smalls on the show because I don't want to, like, get him fired up or whatever, but, like, the Cowboys are just a loser organization. Like, right now, they're just losers. Like, they have some talent, like I said, Dak actually played really well. The throw to Tavon Austin is probably the best throw he's ever made in his life, and it'll be his best play this year. But, like, they had a chance to win this game and beat a team in Houston that, like, is obviously also very poorly coached. I think they had it inside the 10, like, 4 times and kicked 4 field goals. But I just don't think, like, again, I don't get it. You know, you have a chance to win, go 3-2 in your division, kind of take a little bit of control. And at the end of the year, like, let's say they win 7 games. Like, let's say they go 7-9 and somebody wins the division at 8-8. Like, you're going to look back on that specific decision. This was on Bill Simmons' show, so I don't want to take credit for it. But, like, he talked about how, like, you can always look at certain teams where certain plays kind of, like, change your outlook of your season. If you go for it and you get it and you get 10 more yards, you kick a field goal, you win that game, you walk away feeling pretty good. You had a road win. Like, it's fucking – they're just losers, man. Like – Cowboys are just absolute losers. Their coaching staff is losers. Their ownership, Jerry Jones, is a loser. Like, just write the Cowboys off, man. They're done. They're not trying to make the playoffs. I don't care what anyone says. When you do that shit and your head coach, like, just decides, like, I'm playing for a tie, like, how are you getting the ball back there, Smalls? You say it yourself. The overtime's 10 minutes. You're not getting back.
I agree. I think, yeah, you're not playing to win.
Deshaun Watson's not going to give you the ball back. He's going to drive the field and win the game for his team.
All right, what was our order? What was our order in picks last week? Because we went 8-6-1, so we actually profited money. But
I don't believe in stuff like that. Someone just lead us off.
All right, I'll lead us off. Oh, okay, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm going to jump in. I'm going to jump in
to set the table.
And you guys know I set the table every week. You know, the same way with my first pick. I'm going to take the Buffalo College team, the Buffalo Bulls. They are at home versus Akron, and they are 11.5-point favorites. I think the NFL talent really shines through this week. We get a big win at home. We reinvigorate the crowd. We're marching. We win this game by 21. Akron, the Zips, they got no shot.
Yeah, I sent you this text. I'll give my pick in a second. We'll let Bart bring up the rear, like his record. I sent you this text, though. Buffalo is 8-1 straight up and 6-3 against the spread over their last 9. And the home team is a perfect 6-0 against the spread in the last 6 meetings between Akron and Buffalo. So Smalls may be onto something. Buffalo 1 loss to Navy. Otherwise, might be in the top 25. Didn't see that coming. My
Coach,
first one,
Coach Lance, I will take mediums and larges or whatever you're sending to Smalls.
We could use some Buffalo gear. Anybody out there listening, you want to send us gear, like, send it to us. We'll wear it, you know, put some Instagram pictures up. First one for me, staying in Nashville, I got the Florida Vanderbilt under 50.5. Vanderbilt's averaging 14.5 points in SEC play. And then Florida, if you exclude games where Tennessee turns it over six times and gives them five fields less than 25 yards, is averaging 18.5. Even with the UT game, they're only averaging 25, which would
just
still be a
Felipe
cover.
Felipe Frank sucks.
Yeah, that's true. And also, one other thing, it's an 11 a.m. game at Vanderbilt. The stadium's going to be totally dead. Everyone's going to be sleepwalking. This feels like we get Florida like 21 to 10, and that's an easy under. Art?
I've got two for you guys that will not surprise you, and a third one that you'll have to fire this one in on your own Saturday morning. We're going to Alabama, laying the 28, and going under 74. After last week, Saban was pissed that they gave up 31 points to Arkansas. Expect a much, much better defensive effort from Alabama. And it sounds like Tua Tag might not play the whole game, so he might be out of there earlier. I think they're just going to run this down Missouri's throat after they're done with Tua. 56-10 Bama final. And the third pick, whatever Bama is laying in the first half, typically you'd expect it to be a little more than half the spread, but they are just laying it on other teams so much in the first half. This will probably be Bama minus 21.5 for the first half. Ship it.
Yeah, they've been rolling in the first half. So you just gave us three picks in one game?
Two. The first half one, I don't know if we're betting halftime games, but just bet Bama for the game, the under for the first half.
Little bonus picks.
Yeah, we tweeted that one out on Saturday morning, I believe, giving out extra winners.
Oh, extra winners. Yeah, get on the tweeter.
They scored two touchdowns in the last 2 minutes to make sure that they hit the minus 24 against Arkansas.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Smalls.
Yeah, follow at Create Your Shot. Well, I'm staying in college here. I've got Navy at home getting 7 points versus the Temple Owls. Historically, Temple has had struggles with this type of offense. I believe they call it the triple option, if I'm correct. And Temple always struggles. Navy's at home here. I expect the Sailors to come out and really cheer on their team, and we destroy Temple, and we kind of end their hopes and dreams of making a bowl game, as they will lose more than half their games.
Did you call them the Sailors? Do you know that's not their nickname, or is that what?
No. I didn't. Did I say their nickname? I know the Midshipmen are their nickname, but I was I was referencing the student population, and just like Navy people are sailors.
All right. Awesome.
Historically. Correct.
So Smalls and my wife's anesthesiologist are on Navy this weekend. Navy is pets, home dogs. I've got one that I tweeted out earlier in the week, and the lines actually dropped half a point. I've got Central Florida minus 4.5 at Memphis. Like, I can't stress this enough. I've actually watched Central Florida four times this year. I've watched Memphis three times. Like, UCF is just way better than Memphis. I'm not saying that, like, this won't be some sort of a close game. They beat them twice last year. 40-13, they beat them the first time, and then I believe 56-42 the second time. UCF is just better in every metric. Like, their simple rating system, they're 11th in the country. Memphis is 76. Memphis has played the second easiest schedule in the country. World beaters like Mercer, Navy, Georgia State, South Alabama, Tulane, and then Connecticut, who's probably the worst team in the entire college football. So I don't know how close this is going to be. The number right now is 80. I would probably lean towards the under if I was going to bet it, but I am just going to take UCF minus 4.5 and feel really good when they win by 25 at Memphis. Bart?
Pick number 3. Who's the worst pass defense in the NFL, Smalls or Tyler?
The Bucks.
That's right. We're going over 57.5 in the Falcons-Bucks game. Welcome back, Jameis Winston. The Falcons' defense also stinks. They're beat up by injuries. This game is going to fly over 57.5. I'm not scared by another big number. Me and Tyler hit that over last week. Easy.
Yeah, I'm going to jump in really quick just because this is my third one, too. I have Falcons Bucks over 57.5 in a dome. Jameis gets the ball back on offense. These teams are going to throw it 85 times combined. Jameis has thrown it 39.8 times.
I might go over the 85 times.
Yeah, I'm serious. Jameis has thrown an average of 40 times in his matchup against the Falcons. He has gone for 303 plus TDs in 6 of the last 8 against the Falcons, especially in Atlanta, in a dome. This is going to be an absolute shootout. Falcons need it too. So that's going to be my third pick. Sorry to cut you off, Smalls. I got Falcons Bucks over 57.5 as well.
No, you didn't cut me off. And I'm on this game as well. Not the over under, but I'm taking Falcons -3.5 at home. The reason I'm taking that is I think the Buccaneers are trending downward and I think the Falcons are due. The Falcons defensively are just completely destroyed. They're beat up, but you got to count on Jameis Winston throwing 3 or 4 picks in this game, a couple pick sixes. So I just see Atlanta being able to cover the spread, win the game, and start to make it a little less of a 1-15 season. I see them more finishing the 5-11, 6-10 range.
I mean, the Falcons obviously got blown out by the Steelers, just didn't really show up. But their other 3 losses are by a combined 13 points against the Bengals, who are 5-1. The Eagles are 2-3, but obviously a good team. And then the Saints are 4-1 or 5-1.
Their defense is just really, really down. Like, they've lost 2 of their best defensive backs and their best linebacker and overall defensive player.
100%. So, like, this is a team that's clearly better than their record, and you would expect them to win a game against the Bucs at home. I'm going to stay in the NFL for my 4th. I've got the Bills and Texans under 40.5 points. Bills are scoring 12 points a game in total, and on the road they've scored 0-3, and then they scored 27 against loser Kirk Cousins, who gave them 3 fields shorter than 30 yards. Josh Allen, absolute must-watch guy. Guy has no fucking clue where the ball's going when he throws it. I love it. But it feels like this spread is way too high. Their Bills defense is pretty good. The Texans just don't score touchdowns enough. And like, the Bills are only giving up 23 points a game anyway. It just feels like this is going to be like 17-3 Texans or like 17-6 Texans, and we go way under 40 here. But these are just 2 teams that have just been absolute dog shit on offense so far this year.
Bartholomew?
Pick number 4. We were 2 weeks early jumping on the Pats bandwagon against the Lions on Sunday night. We've seen how they've looked the last 2 weeks. I'm jumping back on the Brady and Belichick train. Let me give you a couple stats for this one. The Chiefs' last 7 games in New England, they're 1-6. The Pats' last 14 night games, 10-4 against the spread. One more for you. The last 8 quarterbacks with 10 or fewer starts going up against New England. What do you think their record is, Tyler?
0-10.
It was only 8 of them. They're 0-8. It's going to be 0-9 after Sunday night. Patty Mahomes going down. He's human. Pats -3 and a hook.
The other thing about this one, too, and I actually like it. I'm not sure. Obviously, the speed on the New England's defense really bothers me, but I do agree that, like, Belichick is just really good against young quarterbacks. The number on this one, we said that we thought last week's Falcons-Steelers game would be the highest number of the year at 57.5. Obviously, Falcons-Bucks match that number right now, could go up. This opened at 59.5, the Pats and the Chiefs. So it should be a super fun game.
The only reason I might not go over in that one is the Pats might just control the ball with Sony Michel and just run him into the ground and have, give him like 35 carries or something crazy.
I agree. All right. Smalls, your last one?
Well, I've got 2 more. So I'll finish them. I'll give you both of them. But this line looked really weird to me, so I had to take it. I'm taking the Texans -10 points at home versus the Bills. That line is just really large. I'm not sure the reason.
Your Buffalo Texanship's going to be revoked.
You're a sucker. This is a bad one.
Yeah.
Why? I'm just reading the line.
Why would the Texans be favored by 10 over anyone?
That's why I'm smarter than you.
I almost took the Bills as my last pick, but I was talked into an even bigger lock.
Well, I'm telling you, that's why it's weird, right? Why would the Texans be 10-point favorites? So that's why I'm taking the Texans, because I think it's outrageous. And then I'm taking the Chargers -1 at Cleveland.
Chargers come in there. They roll. Phillip Rivers is just tossing the ball everywhere. Cleveland, let's just calm down about Cleveland. The Chargers win. Bingo, bango, boomo, 5-0 week.
It's always good taking the Chargers on the East Coast in a 1 p.m. game.
In a 1 p.m. game. I hate both
Love games, it.
To be honest with you. The Browns are actually like the Browns are actually like not that bad. The Chargers have only, their Chargers wins are the Bills, Josh Allen's first start ever, Oakland, who we know absolutely is horrendous, and then I'm not sure they played someone else terrible that they beat. Oh yeah, the 49ers. So without Jimmy G. So jury's still out on the Chargers. Feels a little bit odd that the Browns are giving one, but are getting one, but also it's the Browns, so we know they'll make terrible choices. My last one, I don't really know what to do. I think I'm just going to take – I really didn't have a fifth pick. I had a bunch of games that I liked. I'm going to take LSU plus 7.5. I think like a touchdown is – the hook on that is too much for a team like Georgia who's had a little bit of trouble throwing the ball. LSU's defense is going to be really good. Georgia's probably better than LSU, but now they lost last week, and LSU's probably going to be more focused. It's in Death Valley. Like, I don't know. Feels like LSU should only be like 3-point dogs, not 7. So I'm going to take LSU plus 7.5, just mainly because I'm going to watch it. Also really like Iowa State plus 6.5. I just don't think West Virginia's built to win tougher road games, but that's what I'm going to do. LSU plus 7.5 is my fifth. Bart?
One more trend for you guys. What do you think Dallas has done in their last 5 4 o'clock games on the Fox primetime window, where I don't even care what channel it's on? What do you think they've done in the last 5 4 p.m. games?
They're 0-5. I read this.
0-5 straight up, 0-5 against the spread. Give me the Jags minus the 3.
Yeah, I think that one's good. I mean, the Cowboys are done. Like I said, they don't want to win. Like, they're finished.
That's our Lakeisha special of the week.
All right, Smalls, give us your 5 before we get out of here. We'll recap. Smalls, you go, I'll go, Bart goes, and we'll get the hell out of here.
All right, a lot of positivity. I got Buffalo at home against Akron, minus 11.5. I've got Navy at home versus Temple getting 7 points. I have the Texans minus 10 at home versus the Bills. I have the Falcons favored by 3.5 points at home versus the Bucks. And I have the Chargers on the road, 1 p.m. game, Eastern time zone, at the Cleveland Browns, minus 1 point. Lock it up, boys. I love this show because I come on, I come back on, and you tell me how smart I was.
If Smalls binks the Chargers and the Texans this weekend, we may have to do something on the show because those are just absolute sucker bets. I have
parlay.
I have Florida Vandy under 50.5. I have UCF minus 4.5. Not going to call it the lock of the century because I'm 0 for 1 million in those games, but I think this is a great, great, great bet. I think this is really – the spread's way too low. I was going to bet it under 14. So, and then I have the LSU Tigers plus 7.5 at home against Georgia. And then I've got Falcons, Bucks over 57.5, and Bills, Texans, the poop game of the week, under 40. Bart?
Alabama minus 28. Alabama, Missouri under 74. The Falcons and the Bucks over 57.5. New England minus 3.5. The Jags minus 3. Don't forget, Alabama minus any number in the first half.
Yeah, and follow Bart on Twitter at abart07. He will tweet some picks early in the morning. He's had a pretty lucrative day. Also hit Khabib on Saturday night. Didn't really get into that. Maybe we will next week. Just kind of let that situation simmer a little bit. None of us are UFC experts. Smalls is at ChrisAngelis88 on Twitter. I am at CYSTyler. As always, if you like what you hear, subscribe on iTunes, rate us 5 stars, leave us a written review. If you leave a written review and send me a screenshot of it, I will send you a free koozie. The ways to get in touch with us: at Create Your Shot on Twitter, at Create Your Shot Pod on IG, createyourshot@gmail.com, and Create Your Shot on Facebook. Couple of housekeeping things: Underdog Sports NBA show I host with Zandrick Ellison aired Thursday, first episode. Let me know what you think. Please like it, subscribe it, all that good stuff. And I was on the Underdog this past week. And then we are back next Tuesday, Smalls, with Matt Langle, the head coach at Colgate, one of our early influences in coaching. So it should be a very, very fun interview. But thanks as always for listening and enjoy your weekend. Hope you guys make some money. And we will be back on Tuesday with Matt Langle from Colgate University.